This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Forever!
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog!
Welcome to Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and guest Nick Mondernach, reading The Strategy of the Werewolf Dog by Willa Cather. Welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent, and we are joined today by a very special guest. If you were listening in the beginning part of our podcast, you already know his name. You may know him as a writer on People of Earth from UCB. We have writer, comedian, Nick Mondernach.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much
for coming on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, the holidays are among us.
They walk amongst us.
They're in our midst.
They could be anyone.
Take a look at your group of friends. If you don't see a holiday, you're the holiday.
Yeah. Take a look to your left. Take a look to your right.
One of you will be a holiday.
One of you will be a holiday by the end of this semester.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing the show.
Oh my God, my pleasure.
How are you doing?
Really good.
Good. Really
yeah,
good.
We were just mentioning we're recording in downtown LA, and before the start, we were talking about how beautiful it is at this time. There's like an ice skating rink in Pershing Square, which is like right across the street.
Yeah.
There's a big, like, just like lights everywhere. It's just a really fun energy.
It's a very,
it's
like,
a fun energy.
Most wonderful time of the year.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's why I like the holidays.
Me too.
Because just everything feels a little special.
Yeah, definitely.
The like lights seem a little warmer and like from the inside, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Outside, the lights look a little bit yellower
right. And
like the sky looks a little bit deep bluer. It's like a Van Gogh painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadness seems wistful and fun.
Oh, it's like nostalgia.
It's just like beautiful. Yeah. You feel nostalgia instead of sadness.
Yeah. Totally. You're not like the rest of the year, you're like, oh, my grandma's dead. But then like,
then
during,
it's like, remember all the good times.
Yeah.
With
like
grandma.
How grandma always used to make those chestnuts that no one likes.
Yeah.
Grandma's chestnuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone just spitting napkins upon napkins of chestnuts.
Like the underneath her cushions are just full of napkin chestnuts.
Oh, how I wish I could do that again.
Oh, the times of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
But we are here today. Right now.
We're alive.
True.
We're alive. Yeah. Here's the thing. Grandma's fucking dead, but
she's
we're alive.
Gone. We're here.
Dance on her fucking grave.
She's gone, and we're here.
It's our time. So you have two books with you right now.
Yes.
I said that we were going to ask you about your reading habits of your and current, of Christmas past and Christmas present.
Right. I'll say I almost always have a couple of books on me. I'm terrified that I'll have 10 minutes that I could have spent
with your
reading,
own thoughts.
With my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do anything to drone them out. So yeah, so I usually have like a book or two on me. Like sometimes I have like little, there are these like tiny like Penguin 66s that you can kind of like stuff into a pocket. So it'll be like a short story or something like that. But today I have two books with me. One of them is Elements of Surprise, Our Mental Limits and the Satisfactions of Plot.
Oh.
And that's about how to write satisfying endings and how like our own cognitive limitations like allow us to be surprised and stuff like that. So that's been a fun read for me. My degree's in psychology, but I do like comedy writing. So this is kind of a fun blend of those two. Like,
that's perfect.
We were talking about nostalgia. It is that for me where I'm like, oh yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh, you're remembering your,
right, your right.
tenure as a
yes,
student.
Totally. Maya Lynn Sheath. Something like that. Like comes back like the names of old friends. And then kind of along that, I'm reading, George Simenon. I might be mispronouncing
sure.
that, but these are like detective, like Christmas, like detective stories, and they're kind of cool. like in line with. So I'm kind of like reading these, thinking about those surprise turns in terms of
cool.
my brain's limitations.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You're a smarty pants.
Oh my gosh,
that's wonderful.
I remember listening to your episode or one of your episodes of Don't Get Me Started.
Yeah,
the podcast where they interview people or did mm-hmm. interview people. Just about the thing that they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with what they
again?
Do for a living. It's Will Hines and Anthony King.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They don't yes. do it anymore, mm-hmm. but it is still available. It's on HeadGum Podcast Network, but I guess I'll say it.
You're allowed to say it once.
Yeah, and then never again.
Yeah.
Not even if it's about if another podcast.
It has to be disparaging. Can. It yeah. has to be yeah. one disparaging remark.
You know, those jerks.
Sandwich. Insult sandwich.
But you were talking about how you love the New York School of Poets.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
and I was so mm-hmm. taken with you talking about it that I wrote you about it.
Yes.
And then you gave me a book of poetry.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's
right.
So sweet.
I loved talking about it, but I definitely read a ton of poetry. And I guess it seemed like I was talking to someone about it recently, and I think poetry seems kind of similar to comedy to me. I think you're just kind of looking at like language in fresh ways and stuff like that. I think like there's kind of like a lot of similarities to me. And so a lot of times, like before I go into the room or something like that, like, one way I like kind of clear my head is like I usually have like a book of poetry in my desk or something like that. Just read some like a poem or two or something like that. But
wow.
Love reading it. And then I think I did one on Walt Whitman as well,
yeah.
which was really fun. But yeah, but I it's something that I just enjoy. And they can be if people think it's too dour, there's like funny ones that are funny and light and, you know, all of it. So yeah, I love reading it. Yeah. Love talking about it.
You're a reader.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, perfect. You came to the perfect place. Because
I'm so excited.
We're mm-hmm. going to read something by Willa Cather. But before we get started into that, because we've already discussed the past of Willa Cather, the mm-hmm. life of Willa mm-hmm. Cather. Instead, producer Brett has provided us with 8 strange things you didn't know about Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas, everyone. So we already did Knackles last week, so...
Now, this is because this is a Christmassy story.
Yes,
and so
yes.
I believe that's where the thread lies. We mm-hmm. will see if that yeah. is
we'll
true.
See if yes. Brett let us down again.
I'm also imagining like a college section or something. They're like, all right, we have just, now that concludes our study of Willa Cather, now Santa facts.
As is traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's so nice to have Brett back in the studio again so that we can
Here's the thing.
Use him as a punching
it's
bag.
It's much more... much less mean-spirited to rib Brett when he's
present
in the studio, because when he's not, we're just talking shit about him. So it's like,
which he will not hear.
Nice. And then he won't hear it. And then we're just mean people that put that out in the universe. But
so
we do
this way.
Really love Brett. He's a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm. Prince.
Oh, if you guys want to help out the podcast, leave a review that says, like, just make up a compliment about Brett. Like, what
yeah.
you think, like, what do you think his strength is?
Yeah, just everything that we have, like, every bit of Brett knowledge we've imparted to you.
Yeah.
From that.
Something about his integrity, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very integrious.
Integrious.
And we have some shout outs for those of you who left The Booty Wants What It Wants, which we'll do at the end of the show.
That we had made in the past.
And you delivered.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's learn some stuff about Santa.
Sure.
Oh. You copied the whole article, including the fun little intro. So, Santa Claus might be a right jolly old elf, but he's a jolly old elf with a bizarre past. Saint Nicholas, Sinterklaas, Odin. Santa Claus has used all these pseudonyms at one point or another.
Odin. All right.
He has.
Didn't know.
Guess what? Guess what the first fact is?
He's fat.
Incorrect.
Oh.
He spoke at a very young age.
What?
Guess what his first words were? What? What? This is not a fact. This is like a folk tale. Okay. So, according to Benjamin Britten's 1948 St. Nicholas Cantata, when the baby who would become St. Nicholas, who would be the primary inspiration for Santa Claus, exited his mother's womb in 270 AD, he immediately yelled, what?
Luscious.
Mamma mia.
Very close on both counts. God be glorified.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Luscious. If your baby came out, I'd be like, you want to be a saint? Is that... Like
you're gunning for that already.
Is that what you?
Oh, great! I gave birth to one of those saint chasers.
Yeah, those other babies, like in the nursery, just cringe.
Yeah, they're like, ugh, so transparent. Ugh. Okay, what? His best known gifts were given to keep girls from becoming
sluts.
Yeah. Well, in their eyes, yes, sex workers, prostitutes. He was extremely giving to those less fortunate, especially children. He would leave gold coins in people's shoes secretly because he didn't want to be thanked.
Secretly.
But his three biggest presents were: a poor man had three daughters that he couldn't marry off, so he was going to sell them into prostitution. Whoa, this is like some heaven stuff. Mm-hmm. The night before the first girl came of age, Nicholas tossed a bag of gold through the man's window. Here's the thing.
He'll do it again. He's going to spend that gold.
Don't give the money to the dad. Give the money to the girl.
So that she can go make her own life.
She can fucking run away from shit dad.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of nonprofits are saying. Like, don't give the bag of gold to the dad.
Yeah.
Give it
to the girl. It's the new paradigm for aid.
Yeah. So he tosses the bag of gold in the window. The first daughter had a dowry, and so she can be married off. The same thing happens when the second daughter, when the third daughter... Okay. So he does. This is weird. He breaks pattern. Okay. So he's like through the window, first daughter, through the window, second daughter, third daughter.
He marries.
No.
Nice.
That would have been nice. That would have been nice.
That would have been kind of a fun.
That would have been fun.
However,
you have to break the pattern on three.
He just drops a gold bag down the chimney.
Okay.
Well, he keeps breaking the guy's window. I'm sure the guy was like, hey, thank you.
Yeah, he's like, please stop.
My windows are shattered. We're scared. We're living in fear.
Yeah, there's like glass everywhere. Yeah.
Or this window didn't have any glass because they were so poor. And he was like, well, that's not fun.
Yeah, it was just like paper.
I have to find a novel way to do this. To
Did you know that the early settlers to America used... And this is, I would say, colonists to America. Let's just be frank.
Colonizers.
Instead of windows, they would use paper smeared with tallow that would create like slightly transparent, but because they couldn't make glass right when they came.
Oh, that's cool.
I learned that in elementary school, and I don't know if it's true.
And another window fact. There was briefly, I think this was like in England or something, but there was a property taxes were... at one point, based on how many windows you had. And so people would not make windows, and they would just put paintings of like the outdoors in certain as if they were.
What an interesting fact.
Why?
Here's another window fact. Did you know, so glass is like still, I guess, apparently in a very slow state liquid. And so really, really, really old glass is thicker at the bottom than it is at the top.
Whoa.
Isn't that cool?
Wow. That's why.
I think we just have a little like a... spin-off podcast guy.
Window facts.
Yes.
One opens when God closes the door.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but sometimes it doesn't look like a window.
No,
oh.
you can't recognize. But when he closes a door, he definitely opens a window.
So sometimes our window facts podcast gets a little religious.
right.
Or factual. I don't know.
Tomato. Oh, okay. So his reindeer were born of a terrifying immortal war horse.
Nice.
That's hot.
Tell me more.
Okay. So his reindeer came from the Germanic conflation of Odin of the Norse gods with a historical Saint Nicholas, encouraged by early Christians trying to convert the heathens. Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Winter solstice was a magic time for the Germanic peoples called Yule. Yes. Mm-hmm. Aware of Yule. Odin leads the wild hunt. Kids leave out food for Odin's flying eight-legged horse, Sleipnir.
Whoa. Oh, instead of eight.
Tight, dude. And Odin would put candy and treats in place of the food. After that, St. Nicholas was supposed to have had a flying horse when he delivered gifts. At some point, the eight legs of Sleipnir inspired Santa's eight flying reindeer, which were first mentioned in Clement Moore's 1822 poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas. better known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Whoa. Oh.
I'm having an idea. Like, I think it'd be cool. Like the eight reindeer are being like terrorized, and we find out that it's Sleipnir. He's coming back.
Yeah,
nice. That's like the turn is like, oh no, actually, like he kind of has a point. Like he's kind of like in the right to kind of reclaim.
Yeah,
I think so. I think at first we're like, oh,
Santa's
this is so horrifying.
Colonizer.
And then I think the eight reindeer have a moment where they're like, I am the monster.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Perhaps like I am legend.
Totally. And then the reindeer looked at the other and the other looked at them and you couldn't tell which was which.
Yeah.
Dang. He was a staunch opponent of cannibalism. You know what? Here's the thing. He stands up for what's right.
Yeah. He stands up for what he believes, regardless of whether it's a popular opinion.
Yes.
And everyone can respect
that. That was really controversial at the time.
You know what?
At the time.
Modern.
In the historical context.
History has proven him right, but.
I feel like St. Nicholas is like one of those people on Twitter that's like, defending a thing that nobody's attacking, where they're where they're like, just so you know, I don't know if I want to say this because I feel like this person, I don't follow them. It's fine. Someone else sent me a screenshot of it. They're like, just so you know, sometimes it's hard to be single.
What?
And it's like, oh, tight.
Wow.
You know,
I've literally never heard this before
And then did a thread about it and then ended with, thanks for coming to my TED talk. And then another tweet, P.S. I was like, you can't do that.
No.
You ended your TED talk.
You can't walk back on stage.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Everyone's gone.
Yeah. It's the next speaker.
Okay, get this. Do you want to know the details of the cannibalism thing?
Very much.
So St. Nicholas is
like, she's going to tell us.
He's like walking around. Then.
Thinks he's hot shit.
He's like, I'm hot shit.
I'm single.
Then a butcher lures three little kids into his shop, kills them, and then tries to sell their meat as ham. St. Nicholas, who happened to be wandering by, immediately saw that was not ham and resurrected the three children. Oh, according to some versions of the legend, the boys were also pickled.
Yum.
Pickled makes more sense. I'm trying to think of what slice of a boy would look like ham. The butt?
Or like thighs.
Just like pink. If you had slices, it would just look like pink meat.
Yeah. There you go. Pink meat.
You have to do slices.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't just do a chunk.
I'm right back in.
Yeah. You're back on board.
My cousin, my aunt married a guy who's like actually Israeli, like from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so my cousin was raised Jewish,
mm-hmm.
But still like kind of celebrating Christmas too. And they would come to Reno to visit some Christmases, and then I would go at the same time. And one time she was like, oh, Mom, could I have some more of the pink chicken?
Oh, no.
And we're like, what? Pink chicken?
Pink chicken?
And that's what my aunt called pork.
But
to like get around the whole like Jewish people can't
eat. Oh my God.
That's what she called ham. Pink chicken. Because it was like, but like that was her way to make sure that like daddy didn't find out about it.
Yeah.
And she didn't even give her the right words for it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because she only ever called it pink chicken.
Crabs were chicken in armor.
Yeah.
Armored chicken.
Armored chickens. Little bug chickens or shrimps.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Pink chicken.
Pink chicken. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of colors, Santa Claus has been a shill for Coca-Cola all along.
Yeah.
The only reason he wears red and white is because Coca-Cola Company tells him to. Prior to 1931, Santa dressed in any color he liked. Blue, green, brown, mauve, whatever. In 1931, Coca-Cola issues massive ad campaign featuring Santa in Coke's red and white colors.
Yeah.
Campaign so prevalent that it effectively locked Santa's fashion down from that point on.
It truly did.
Yeah.
It's been almost 100 years.
I remember seeing like Sinterklaas, like things that were wearing like green and maroon. And I was just like, oh, that's like a Norwegian thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's not.
I didn't know it was specifically Coke, but I did know that like at some point it got changed. I didn't know why, but I knew that something specific must have happened to change it because I had seen him wearing like green.
Mm-hmm. His job used to be performed by a goat.
God, putting goats out of work again.
The friggin' Yule goat?
Yule goat.
It wanders around making sure families completed their Yule celebration preparations and demanding gifts. Wow.
Jesus.
Eventually, thanks to the legends of winter gift givers.
Goat.
Rude goat.
Yeah.
Around Europe, the Yule goat started bringing presents in the 19th century, only to be later replaced by Santa Claus around 1900.
And that goat is dead now.
I'm sure it is. I mean, do the math. He may have castrated his reindeer.
It made them have such beautiful singing
now
voices.
This year, here's the thing that I don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. It says the names of Santa's reindeer are all male, but I'm like, that's you thinking, like, that's you projecting,
that's you making
like, gender normative names.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Male reindeers shed their antlers in the winter, and Santa's reindeer are never pictured antlerless when they're making their Christmas rounds.
Well,
so they're either
argument
actually
that they're women.
Yeah, so
women.
I think they're
women reindeer.
Yes,
this is. What? Really? Okay, so they say they're either female reindeer with male names, which, okay, or they are male reindeer who have been castrated, which prevents them from losing their antlers. They don't lose their antlers if they have been castrated?
I guess. I assume this BuzzFeed person knows
right,
more
right.
than me.
They don't lose their antlers.
His bones leak miracle juice.
I just, like, real quick, I want to know what makes, like, Dasher and Dancer and Prancer are such male names.
Yeah.
I mean, I picture like
come on.
A like a big pair of balls when I hear that.
Yeah, name. I hear
I mean,
Prancer.
Yeah.
Sweaty.
Vixen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
Vixen.
Such a
Vixen.
Male name. Prancer, very masculine.
Masculine.
Just traditionally masculine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Donner Blitzen.
Blitzen.
So masculine. Just like old Hollywood. It's very old Hollywood.
Very old Hollywood.
Handsome, masculine.
Very Cary Grant.
Mm-hmm. Cary, another male name.
Very male name. His bones leak miracle juice.
Leak.
It's an accident.
We're concerned about the leaking. He died in 343 AD. He was buried in Myra. We should go to Myra.
Okay.
Where
that's
he'd
my new
been.
Pilgrimage, because I don't have religion.
Santa pilgrimage.
Yes.
This didn't stop him from helping people, though. Legend
okay.
says that a clear, watery liquid would seep out of his bones and that it had miraculous powers. This is like when people
that's
wanted to
sweat.
Drink the sarcophagus juice.
Yeah, or eat the placenta.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Okay, well, so we learned some stuff about Santa.
Mm-hmm. That's Santa for you.
That's Santa for you. All right, let's see here. This is.
Are you ready to read a story?
Oh, I
Nick?
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's 11 pages, how many pages each for us? Like 3 point something?
3.333333?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that is?
3.333.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll just do like 3 and some.
Great.
Sounds good.
The Strategy of the Werewolf Dog by Willa Cather. This is the tale of the bleak, bitter Northland, where the frost is eternal and the snows never melt, where the wide white plains stretch for miles and miles without a tree or shrub, where the heavens at night are made terribly beautiful by the trembling flashes of the northern lights, and the green icebergs float in stately grandeur down the dark currents of the hungry polar sea. It is a desolate region where there is no spring, and even in the short summers, only a few stunted willows blossom and grow green along the rocky channels, through which the melting snow water runs clear and cold. The only thing about this, all this country, is that far up within the Arctic Circle, just on the edge of the boundless snow plains, there is a big house of greystone, where the lights shine all the year round from the windows, and the wide halls are warmed by the blazing fires. For this is the house of his beloved saintship, Nicholas, whom the children the world over call Santa Claus.
So inviting.
Very inviting. The yellow lights... I was picturing those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could feel the fire. She has a way with words. She should be a writer.
Someone should. I'll tweet at her and let her know.
Okay.
Now, every child knows this house is beautiful, and beautiful it is, for it is one of the most home-like places in the world. Just inside the front door is the big hall, where every evening after his work is done, Santa Claus sits by the roaring fire and chats with his wife, Mama Santa.
Wow, not Mama Claus?
Whoa.
Mama sorry. Santa?
And the white bear.
Okay, sorry.
Then.
Go on. The bear doesn't have a name.
It's just, no, it's just the white bear.
Okay.
It's her and the white bear. Mama Santa and the white bear.
Hi,
you know, the trio that we all know.
This is, hi, I'm Lindsay Kaytai. This is my husband.
Dada Lindsay.
Yeah, Dada Lindsay.
This is my husband.
And this is our bear, the white bear.
And this is our child, White Bear.
Then there is the dining room and the room where Papa and Mama Santa sleep. And to the rear are the workshops where all the wonderful toys are made. And last of all, the White Bear's sleeping room. For the White Bear has to sleep in a bed of clean white snow every night.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Are you an idiot?
Or it dies.
Oh, is the bear going to die in this story? Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
But we're alive. And so his room is away from the heated part of the house. But most boys and girls do not know much about the White Bear, for though he is a really important personage, he has been strangely neglected by the biographers of Santa Claus.
Revisionist history. Mm-hmm.
But that is often the way of the historian.
Preach, girl.
They concentrate themselves upon a single important figure of a place or time and forget to mention at all other factors quite as important.
Eight-legged so Steinfond?
Yeah. Anyone remember?
Then after a while, someone takes up the people with whom the historians... I'm sorry. Then after a while, someone takes up the people whom the historians have left in the dark and tries to do them long-delayed justice. Now, I would consider it a quite sufficient purpose in life and a very considerable accomplishment if I could set the White Bear right with history and convince the world of his importance. He's not at all like the bears who carry off naughty children and does not even
belong... those bears.
That sounds really bad. And does not even belong to the same family as the bears who ate up the 40 children who mocked at the prophet's bald head.
Oh, you check know the your one. Bear bias, because not all bears.
On the contrary, this bear is a most gentle and kindly fellow and fonder of boys and girls than anyone else in the world, except Santa Claus himself. He has lived with Papa Santa from time immemorial, helping him in his workshop.
So what?
Wait, there's no
elves? What's his first name?
Oh, Santa?
He's Papa Santa.
Papa Santa.
Also, and she's Mama Santa.
I'm getting the vibe
that
he's
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So what's their first names?
They don't have it. They're like Mother Bear and Father Bear. Brother Bear, sister
I'm also
bear.
Getting the vibe just off of like her disparagement of all other bears as like evil, that there's like some like with like model minority anxiety in White Bear.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that's
exactly.
Like kind of unfairly placed upon him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make me the fucking standard bearer of my kind.
Yes. Don't put that on me.
It's too much pressure.
Let's see if that's what he says.
Let's see. He's helped him in his workshop, painting rocking horses, stretching drum heads, gluing yellow wigs on doll babies. But his principal duty is to care for the reindeer, those swift, strong, nervous little beasts. Without him...
swift, strong,
and nervous.
That's a little trait I didn't know about the reindeer, that they were really nervous.
We are swift, we are strong,
we're nervous. Are you putting it on me? Don't put the bells on. No, not the bells. They're so loud.
Fly all the way up there.
In the sky.
I love it when we're like, ha, 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 laugh, and then it's like dead silence while we try to find her.
Oh, I thought it was good. You were about to get to a very dark passage. And then
sometimes we just lose our place.
Yeah.
Without the reindeer, the hobby horses and dolls and red drums would never reach the little children in the world. One evening on the 23rd of September, the rest of the date does not matter. Papa Santa.
Okay.
This is okay. She's trying to get like away from like people being like inaccuracy. She's like, it could have happened anytime.
Like, no, it doesn't matter.
Papa Santa sat by the fire in the great hall, blowing the smoke from his nostrils until his ruddy round face shone through it like a full moon through the mist.
What?
What interesting imagery.
Okay. I think I've got my head around it.
He was in a happier mood even than usual, for his last year's work in the shop was done. The last
drunk.
He was fucking flying.
Like a moon through the fucking mist.
You know.
I went out with my buds last
euphemism.
Night. Moon through the mist.
It was my birthday, so you know that my face was like a big round moon in the mist.
Wow.
You get it.
All the vast array of, the last nail had been driven and the last coat of paint had dried. All the vast array of toys stood ready to go into the sealskin bags and to be piled into the sleigh. Opposite him sat Mama Santa, putting the last dainty stitches on a doll dress for a little sick girl.
She was a woman.
Somewhere down in the world. Mama Santa never kept track of where the different children lived.
She's like, I do not give a fuck.
She's like, who the fuck is this dog going to? I don't give a shit.
I'm like, just whatever. Is her name Sarah? Who cares? There are like 12 billion Sarahs. How am I supposed to know?
Papa Santa and the White Bear attended to the address book. It was enough to, for her to know that they were children and good children. She did not care to know anymore.
I have shit to do that has nothing to do with your job. I have my own job. You keep trying to make me one of your employees at the end of the year every time, and I'm happy to help out, but please do not ask me to know who these
and
fuckers
if
are.
If you're going to start talking about the address book, I have to stop you right there. Because I can't.
Just like that's where I draw the line.
Because I can't. Because it's got to be a boundary for me. Yeah, because I can't.
He's like, you know, this is going to a young sick child in the fields. And no. She's like, I can't hear it right now.
No,
please don't do this
do
right
not
now.
Talk about a location. I,
you know,
can't.
You know that you
this
know
is
I can't
the
talk
line.
About that.
Can't.
Papa.
Yeah.
By her chair sat the White Bear eating his dog sausage.
What?
I'm really glad I took a drink of water right then.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Is the sausage made of dog? Or is it a sausage for dogs?
No.
Who'd he take that sausage from? What dog has been left without sausage?
Perhaps I should have mentioned there's a dog who also lives there.
Like, I'm sorry. I thought we were supposed to like the White Bear.
Oh, the White Bear was always hungry between meals, and Mama Santa always kept a plate of his favorite sausage ready for him in the pantry, which, as there was no fire there, was a refrigerator as well. As Papa Santa began to light his pipe again, he spoke to the White Bear. The reindeer are all in good shape, are they? You've seen them tonight? Wait, the White Bear's talking now?
I gave them their feed and rubbed them down an hour ago, and I never saw them friskier.
Ew. The way, the fact that that came with that voice was like unacceptable.
They had to skim like birds tomorrow night. As I came away, though, I thought I saw the werewolf dog hanging around, so I locked up the stable.
Is that what he makes his sausage out of?
That was right, said Papa Santa approvingly. He was there for no good, depend on that. Last year he tampered with the harness and cut it so that four traces broke before I reached Norway.
Wait, so he's not attacking the reindeer? He's just making mischief?
Just fucking with them. It's funny, how I feel about the White Bear, like, first it was like, oh, the bears, like, you know, they eat all the kids, but he's not like that. He, you know, he makes the toys. Okay, I'm back. But he eats dog sausage. Oh, fuck him. Yeah. Oh, but the dog is just fucked with everyone. The dog is just an asshole. Okay, ooh, I'm back. Okay.
I have whiplash right now. Emotional.
Mama Santa sent her needle through the fine cambric she was stitching with an indignant thrust and spoke so emphatically that the little white curls under her cap bobbled around her face.
I draw the line.
I cannot understand the perverse wickedness of that animal, nor what he has against you, that he should be forever troubling you, or against those world children. Poor little innocent. That he should be forever trying to defraud them of their Christmas presents. He is certainly the meanest animal from here to the pole.
That he is, said Papa Santa. And there's no reason for it at all. But he hates everything that is not as mean as himself.
I am sure, Papa, that he will never be at rest until he has brought about some serious accident. Hadn't the bear better look about the stables again?
I'll sleep there tonight and watch, if you say so, said the White Bear.
I forgot what his voice was.
Wait, I'm sorry. The White Bear wrapped the floor with his shaggy tail. Is he a dog? Don't call this a white bear if this is a dog.
Is he a husky?
Oh, this might be a... What
is he like
fucking...
a Malamute type dog?
Yeah.
Is he like White Fang?
He might be like White Fang.
He's White Fang.
White Fang.
Oh, there's no need of that, and we must all get our sleep tonight, for we have hard work and a long journey before us tomorrow.
Is his name just White Bear?
I think his name is White Bear.
White Bear the dog.
Okay, and then eats dog sausage because...
Yeah, okay, he's a dog.
And this comes back to that book, Elements of Surprise. He was the dog.
He was the dog the whole time.
And Mylan Sheath.
I can trust the reindeer pretty well to look after themselves. Come, Mama, come. We must get to bed.
Papa Santa shook the ashes out of his pipe and blew out the lights. And the White Bear went to stretch himself in his clean white snow. When all was quiet about the house, there stole from the window of the wall a great dog, shaggy and monstrous to look upon. His hair was red, and his eyes were bright like ominous fires. His teeth were long and projected from his mouth like tusks. And there was always a little foam about his lips, as though he were raging with some inward fury. Drink some water. This was the wicked werewolf dog who hated everything.
And I'm sorry, but I think the werewolf dog is a bear.
I think it might be a bear. I think it's a bear.
According to this description.
Yeah. This is a bear.
I think we even had yet a fucking gen.
Yeah. No, this is like a red panda bear. He's
and
like,
then
his
the white
hair.
Bear dog had to fight the dog werewolf bear and eat the dog sausage. And then all the world children were left desperate.
He hated everything, the beasts and the birds and Santa Claus and the white bear, and most of all, the little
himself.
Children of the world. Okay. Not himself. He loved himself.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nothing made him so angry as to think that there really are good children in the world. Little children who love each other and are simple and gentle and fond of everything that lives, whether it breathes or blooms.
Chuck Palahniuk.
Ew. For years, he had been trying in one way and another to delay Santa Claus's journey so that the children would get no beautiful gifts from him at Christmas time. For the werewolf dog hated Christmas too, incomprehensible as that may seem. He was thoroughly wicked and evil, and Christmas time is the birthday of goodness.
Oh man, this person is like, have you heard the news?
Yeah. I love that she's like not mentioning Jesus at all, though.
No.
Just like
just the commercial aspect.
She's my kind of Christmas.
Yes.
Capitalist Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love capitalism.
Me too. Love it.
So in
Godless
favor.
Christmas.
Mm-hmm. The birthday of goodness. And every year on Christmas Eve, the rage in his dark heart burned anew. He stole softly to the window of the stable and peered in where the swift, tiny reindeer stood each in his warm little stall, pawing the ground impatiently. For on glorious moonlight nights like that, the reindeer never slept. They were always so homesick for their freedom and their wide, white snow plains.
Oh, man.
What?
I am legend. Santa Claus is the enemy.
Yeah.
Crap.
Little reindeer, called the werewolf dog softly, and all the little reindeer pricked up their ears. Little reindeer, it's a lovely night. And all the little reindeer sighed softly. They knew. Ah, how well they knew.
Oh, man.
Jeez, let these reindeer out. Little reindeer, the moon is shining as brightly as the sun does in the summer. The north wind is blowing fresh and cold, driving the little
I'm running
clouds.
Around and I'm free.
I'm having so much fun
What's
out
it
here.
Like in your little, like, what are you wearing, harnesses?
Like, what are those harnesses? I don't know. I'm having such a good time. I can't remember words. Driving the little clouds across the sky like white seabirds. The snow is just hard enough to bear without breaking. And your brothers are running like wild things over its white crust.
Honestly, am I team werewolf?
I'm
He's
team
gonna
werewolf.
Like let them
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the stars, the stars, little brothers, they gleam like a million jewels and glitter like icicles all over the face of the sky. The reindeer stamped impatiently in their little stalls. It was very hard. Come, little reindeer, let me tell you why all your brothers run toward the polar sea tonight. It is because tonight the northern lights will flash as they never did before, and the great streaks of red and purple and violet will shoot across the sky.
Aurora Borealis.
Until all the people of the world shall see them. Who never saw before. Listen, little reindeer, it is just the night for a run. A long, free run with no traces to tangle your feet and
do
no
it,
sledge to drive.
It.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let these fucking reindeer
go.
Let my people go.
This story
go.
Was written by Papa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
This is Papa Santa. Because this, like, yeah, what is...
Mm-hmm. This is classic, like, revisionist.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It probably was, like, he... Like, the werewolf dog was, like, just a guy.
Yes.
Who was, like, trying to
free these reindeer.
He's like an animal rights activist.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Like threatened property in the Capitol.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly. It's like they're not your property. They're property. Beings.
They're not your property.
Dunder stamped in Dunder.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Dunder and plunder and flunder and flixen.
Yeah, what? Dunder stamped in his stall. It made him long to be gone to hear what the werewolf dog said.
I'll say this. Sorry, these alternate names do add the stakes that maybe these reindeer will die or get lost.
Yeah, they're going to be replaced. They're going to be replaced by new reindeer.
Because, you know, like, if it was like,
and
Vixen,
we never
like,
heard from them again.
Yeah, if it's like Donner or something, we're like, we're fine. These are in peril. These,
Dunder.
Literally anything could happen to Dunder.
Or maybe just Dunder.
Yeah. Oh, just Dunder. Oh, so there were like, wait, how many reindeers are there?
Maybe
nine. Because Rudolph. Rudolph leads the pack.
This
is the 10th reindeer.
This is the 10th.
We never knew of before.
Dunder.
Also lost to history. Dunder and the white bear. I almost said wolf.
Shit.
No, we cannot. For tomorrow, we must start with the toys for the little children
fucking
of the world.
Snitch, dude. Fuck Dunder.
No, he's trying to stand up to him. He's not a snitch. He is being a little baby.
He's being a baby. You know what? He's not awake yet.
But you will be back tomorrow, just when the dim light is touching the tops of the icebergs and making the fresh snow red. You will be speeding home. Ah, it will be a glorious run, and you will see the lights as they never shone before. Do you not pant to feel the wind about you, little reindeer? Then Cupid and Blitzen could withstand his enticing words no longer and begged.
Is Cupid one?
Mm-hmm. Cupid and Blitzen.
Cupid and Blitzen.
Mm-hmm.
Cupid.
Are we sure?
What was that melody?
It is Cupid.
Do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Cupid and Blitzen.
Cupid and Blitzen.
Dunder the dumb-nosed reindeer.
He went and died in the snow. Is Cupid one?
Cupid
reindeer?
Yeah.
Oh, you are so right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because she even puts them like Cupid and Blitzen.
Oh my god. Guess what?
What?
Dunder is a variation on
Donner?
Donder?
Whoa.
And Donner.
Donder. I think we chose right by sticking with Donner.
I'm Donder.
I'm Donder the reindeer.
I'm the biggest reindeer. That's my Donder.
I'm Donder and I'm tired.
So high, baby reindeer.
Acid reflux.
No, I'm sorry. Across the whole world? If we just split it over a few nights, fine.
Why has it got to be one
tired.
Night?
Poor Donder.
Poor Donder.
Come, Donder. Let us go tonight. It has been so long since we have seen the lights, and we will be back tomorrow. Now, the reindeer knew well enough they ought not to go. But reindeer are not like people, and sometimes the things they want most awfully to do are the very things they ought not to do. That sounds like people to me. That sounds like people.
The amount of, like, loving the institution of control.
Yes.
I can't deal with
this. I can't. I'm a real Mama Claus right now, Mama Santa right now, in that I can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Those Democratic socialists are going to tell you that you need healthcare. But you all are the smart ones, and you know better.
Access is better than guarantee.
Yes. Yeah.
As the saying goes. The thought of the fresh winds and their dear lights of the north and the moonlit snow drove them wild, for the reindeer love their freedom more than any other animal.
Ah.
And swift motion and the free winds. Yeah, duh, they're fucking reindeer.
That sounds pretty tight.
So the dog pried open the door with the help of the reindeer forcing it from within, and they all dashed out into the clear moonlight and scurried away toward the north like gleeful rabbits. We will be back by morning, said Cupid. We will be back, said Dunder. And poor little reindeer, they loved the snow so well that it scarcely seemed wrong to go. Oh, how fine it was to feel that wind in their fur again. They tossed their antlers in the fresh wind, and their tiny hoofs rang on the hard snow as they ran.
How small are these reindeer? They keep being like the tiny nervous beasts.
This is another white bear. These are cats.
Oh.
These are cats.
Their tiny hooves are cat paws.
Yes, and they and they used to be called reindeer cats.
Reindeer.
No wonder they're so hard to wrangle.
Yes.
They do love their freedom. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm.
Yep. They ran for miles and miles without growing tired or losing their first pleasure in it. Their nostrils were distended and their eyes were bright. Okay.
Mm. Their nostrils were distended.
Man, whenever I get turned on, my nostrils get so distended.
Yeah, what does this signify? Yeah. And their eyes were bright. Is this happiness? Do our nostrils
distend? I think they're like dying. They're dying of exhaustion.
Yeah.
This is like a horse that's like very unwell.
Right.
Slower, slower, little reindeer, for I must lead the way. You will not find the place where all the beasts are assembled, called the werewolf dog. The little reindeer could no more go slowly than a boy can when the fire engines dash by.
Aww.
Little boys.
Fire engines are for boys.
And dolls are for girls.
Dolls and hair are for girls.
Yes. Uh-huh. Fire engines and addresses are for boys.
Yes. Yes. And
So they got the werewolf dog in the center of the pack and fairly bore him on with them. On they ran over those vast plains of snow that sparkled as brightly as the sky did above, and Dasher and Prancer bellowed aloud with glee. At last there lay before them the
we're free!
At last there lay before them the boundless stretch of the polar sea. Dark and silent it was, as mysterious as the strange secret of the pole which it guards forever. Here and there, where the ice floes had parted, showed a crevice of black water, and the great walls of ice glittered like flame when the northern lights flung their red banners across the sky and tipped the icebergs with fire. There the reindeer paused a moment for very joy. Okay. And the werewolf dog fell behind. Is the ice safe, old dog? Asked Vixen. To the right it is. Off and away, little reindeer. It is growing late, said the werewolf dog, shouting hoarsely. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take that again. To the right it is! And the heedless little reindeer dashed on, never noticing that the wicked werewolf dog stayed behind on the shore. Now when they were out a good way upon the sea, they heard a frightful cracking, grinding sound, such as the ice makes when it breaks up. Yeah, they're going to die. To the shore, little brothers, to the shore, cried Dunder. But it was too late. The wicked werewolf dog, where he stood on the land, saw the treacherous ice break and part and the head of every little reindeer go down under the black water. Then he turned and fled over the snow with his tail tighter between his legs than ever, for he was too cowardly to look upon his evil work.
Wow. Sorry, we just got distracted because there's a large photo.
Oh, yeah. By this, and the most striking image of all the imagery we've seen, of course, everyone wants to see
is Mama Santa sat by her chair. And by her chair sat the white bear eating his dog sausage.
He is eating with his hands.
And he is a bear.
Okay, it is a bear. It's a bear?
What?
Great. He is a bear. He is a little
First
bear.
First of all, he has like, no, this looks like a man. This is a furry. He, look at how he's sitting. Look at his legs and his arm.
Oh, yes, certainly. Yeah, this is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
This is like their child.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is their troubled child.
This is their troubled child that, like, they can only talk to him as if he's white bear when he's wearing that outfit.
I can easily see a revisionist that's, you know, we're talking about the werewolf dog version. Because it seems like they eat dog. Like, it seems like, you know, this might be werewolf
dog.
Yeah,
sausage.
You know, relatives, family,
no
whatever.
No wonder he's pissed.
There's a retelling here.
Don't like it. Then he turned and fled over the snow with his tail tighter between his legs than ever, for he was too cowardly to look upon his own evil work.
As for the reindeer, the black current caught them and whirled them down under the ice, all but Dunder and Dasher and Prancer, who at last rose to the surface and lifted their heads above the water. Swim, little brothers. We may yet get to the shore, cried Dunder. So among the cakes of broken ice that cut them at every stroke, the three brave little beasts began to struggle toward the shore that seemed so far away. A great chunk of ice struck Prancer in the breast, and he groaned and sank.
Ouch.
Then Dasher began to breathe heavily and fell behind. And when Dunder stayed to help them, he said, No, no, little brother. I cannot make it. You must try to help me, or we will both go down. Go tell it all to the white bear. Goodbye.
Go tell it on the mountain to the white bear. to the white bear now.
These alternate melodies are here. not just the words. Goodbye, little brother. We will skim the white snow fields no more together. And with that, he too sank down into the black water, and Dunder struggled on alone.
Oh, Dunder.
Dunder of all. Of all the reindeer.
We knew
that he was going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I he's got to go.
Yeah. It's funny that he's like the last Dunder. One. I'm disappointed that he's still alive.
Yeah. He's the final girl.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you kind of turn the movie off at that point. Like, I don't care. I don't
it's Dunder's the one. Okay.
When at last he dragged himself wearily upon the shore, he was exhausted and cruelly cut and bleeding.
Ow.
But there was no time to be lost. Spent and suffering as he was, he set out across the plains. Late in the night, the white bear heard someone tapping against his window and saw poor Dunder standing there all covered with ice and blood. "Come out, brother," he gasped. "The others are all dead and drowned. Only I am left. For this night, the treacherous werewolf dog came to us and with enticing words lured us to go with him toward the pole, promising to show us the northern lights brighter than we had ever seen them before. But Black Death he showed us and the bottom of the polar sea.
Whoa.
He also promised us free college education."
Those housing loans weren't to be believed.
The bubble.
Then the white bear hastened out in his nightcap, and Dunder told them all about the cruel treachery of the werewolf dog. "Alas," cried the white bear, "and who shall tell Santa of this? And who will drag his sleigh tomorrow to carry the gifts to the little children of the world? Will their stockings hang on Christmas morning, and Santa's heart will be broken."
They should be more worried about the dead reindeer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like they're not even taking a moment's pause to mourn.
Only the property, right? We're only concerned about
property.
Mm-hmm. Property. Then poor Dunder sank down in the snow and wept. "Do not despair, Dunder. We must go tonight to the ice hummock where the beasts may meet to begin their Christmas revels. Can you run a little longer, poor reindeer?" "I will until I die," said Dunder bravely.
"Jeez Louise, I'll run until I'm in the cold ground, for I am Dunder."
"Get on my back and we will go."
No, here's the thing. The bears can ride
a tiny reindeer.
The bear, if anything, should be carrying
the tiny reindeer.
If the bear were indeed a bear, the bear could carry the tiny reindeer.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are being proven that this is a young child, a boy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A little boy.
Yeah.
Right.
Troubled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's also funny to think about, like, Lindsay, for instance, if you, like, you're, like, you're something, there's an accident, like, on the way here, you're, like, you're wrists are shattered, your like back is broken. I run up to you, Lindsay, carry me to the hospital.
Can you keep running? And you'd be like, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Carry me there, and I will explain to them what happened.
You were in a car accident. What about all those papers you had to drop off at the office?
Right.
Oh, the papers. Okay.
All right. I'll get on your back. You take me back to the car so I can get the papers.
Right. So reluctantly, the white bear got on Dunder's back, for bears cannot run themselves. Why?
She is just making shit up to form her story.
They cannot.
She has taken a square peg, and she's trying to put it in that round hole.
You know what it is? Here's the thing. She wrote the whole thing. Her editor's like, why can't the bear run? And she's like, shit, I'll just put a sentence
in. Yeah, exactly. Right.
The little bears can't run.
And then when it goes to print, we'll take it out. They'll see it and they'll take it out, but then they just like never do.
This is like the worst example of taking an executive note if you don't like the note.
Yep. Yes. Totally.
Because they can't.
Right. They'll be, in editing. When we get to editing, then it'll obviously all come out.
You know what? Make it a part of the story. You can find something. Right. You can take the note in a good way.
This all raises the possibility that Willa Cather has not seen any of these animals.
She's like, a bear, and it's riding a reindeer.
Right.
Willa, have you ever seen an animal before?
Yes.
All right. Name one animal you've seen.
And then the ice hat.
She hasn't seen an animal.
That's an animal.
Fucking knew it.
She's like, white bear.
Yes, right.
It's like the California
dog,
flag.
Yeah. Dog, sauce.
Wait, do you know what food is, Willa?
And then they speed. And they sped away to the great ice hummock where the animals of the north all gather to keep their Christmas.
They're going to a rager.
Mm-hmm. The ice hummock is a great pile of ice and snow right under the North Star, and all the animals were there drinking punches and wishing each other a Merry Christmas. They were seals and fur otters and white ermines.
Oh, fur otters.
And white ermines. No.
Otters. It's like, yeah, and then there were some of those, like, box birds.
Yes, box birds.
And, you know, they had some
cattle
of those.
Cattle cats
and, like, you know, saucer monkeys.
Mm-hmm. She is literally, like, commodifying these animals because, so I looked up fur otter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, she's referring to a sea otter, but they're hunted for their fur.
Right, right.
So she's like, you know, fur otters and meat cows.
Yeah,
and-
the bacon pig, yes. And many strange birds and the tawny Lapland dogs that are as strong as horses. But the werewolf dog was not
there. So you can ride
the
little dogs, tawny Lapland dogs.
Yeah, tawny Lapland dogs that are strong as horses, which cannot run. Horses, which, of course,
yeah.
we know.
Yeah, we all know horses and bears can't run.
But the werewolf dog was not there. The white bear paid no heed to any of them, but climbed up to the very top of the huge ice hummock. Then he stood up and cried out, "Animals of the north, listen to me!" And all the animals ceased from their merrymaking and looked up to the ice hummock where the white bear stood, looking very strange up there, all alone in the starlight, with his nightcap still on.
He left the house in his jammies.
Yeah.
He couldn't take off his hat?
The fur otters are like, what the fuck?
Who the fuck is this guy?
Who is this guy? "Listen to me!" thundered the white bear. "And I will tell you such a tale of wickedness and treachery as never came up among us before. This night the wicked werewolf dog, who is ever raging in his black heart against the innocent world children, came to
the world children.
I can't believe
children.
She said world
this is,
children.
That sounds
again.
like a world music CD that you buy at like Discover Store.
Yes, yes, totally. Yeah, like this like kind of this like idea of multiculturalism, which is kind of like out of vogue, I guess.
Yeah.
Came to the reindeer of Santa Claus and with enticing words lured... I was reading
that
as
sweet
myself.
Ass
no.
white
Came
bear
to
voice.
The reindeer of Santa Claus and with enticing words lured them northward, promising to show them the great lights as they never shone before. But Black Death he showed them.
Why are we repeating yourself,
he has to do
Willa?
The whole story.
We already heard it.
This is also the third time because I think this also... Doesn't this happen...
We have heard it.
Yes, yes.
Three times.
And this is a 5-page story.
Yeah, so we watched it happen.
Yes.
And then we
heard
Dunder
right.
tell White Bear what happened. And now we're hearing White Bear tell what happened to other
this
animals.
Is another kind of executive-y note, I think, which is like, hey, like, can we...
Can you remind everyone?
Can we remind people?
I just don't know if people are going to remember what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's just like there's a lot of mythology to keep track of. So,
interesting fact, though, like that's a note executives give that I think we bristle at. But then I was watching an episode of TV with my mom, and she does just talk over any plot point that she can. Like
mom does that too.
Well, what are they eating? I'm like, mom, you're not like what? What is that on the table? Is that a cream cheese? And she's like lost. Out. I mean,
my mom like 3/4 of the way through Zootopia said, "Is that the same bunny and fox?" And I was like, "What other bunny and fox would it be?"
Yes.
She's "Is the same?" And I was like, "What are you doing through the full movie? Are you watching?"
I don't want to derail us too much from this highly compelling story that's like almost over.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a person who drew an extremely detailed, like, well done, like, looks exactly like the Zootopia characters comic about the fox and the rabbit, like, being a couple and her being pregnant and wanting to get an abortion, and he doesn't want her to.
Whoa. I've seen that. I've seen those ones.
It's crazy.
Is it like done at face value? Is it like what's the intent? Is it like
I think
a
it's fan comic?
Yeah,
oh,
it's
okay.
like writing, just like writing
but
this
it's like
history.
Drawn, but the intent is like
it's like dramatic.
Yeah,
it's like not played as a joke at all. It is just a serious story about like what if that rabbit got pregnant and she didn't want to keep the baby and he did.
And there's like
and
other storylines too. Yeah,
there's a follow up now where she's had the abortion and they broke up. And then he comes back trying to get her to take him back. And she is now living with a woman.
Whoa.
Wow.
So now she's in a lesbian relationship.
Okay. Drama.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Look it up. It's intense. It's a lot.
I will.
Like, he gets a little violent at one point.
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot.
It's like, this is like the Showtime version of... Of Zootopia.
It's like so, sexy Pope.
Just like probably type in Zootopia abortion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully that's the only thing that comes up.
I'm guessing that'll come up in the Google search. But maybe a lot of things will now.
Yeah. Okay, so great. So we're back with White Bear.
Yeah, back with White Bear.
Making his
Black
case.
Black Death.
Then he showed them poor bleeding Dunder and told them how all the tiny reindeer had been drowned and all of the treachery of the werewolf dog. And all the animals were very indignant and ashamed that one of their number should be guilty of such a thing. And the big whale flapped his tail and the
whale?
Bears growled.
The whale needs to get back in the water.
Yes.
The whale
The
there.
Whale needs to not okay. be... creates like a... Like schism in the fucking ice.
Right. No, don't agree.
Oh, no, the Black Death.
The Ice Age squirrel is there.
Now, oh animals, the White Bear went on. Who among you will go back with me and draw the sleigh full of presents down to the little world children? For a shame would it be to all of us if they should awaken and find themselves forgotten and their stockings empty.
Oh, good. I feel like everyone's like, oh, this is where this is going.
I thought we were going to just...
I
thought it was mob justice and we're about to go kill ourselves a dog werewolf.
Yeah, but you want us to do this human thing. It was like, that's not really our thing.
I thought you just wanted me to like, post something. I will repost that.
Yeah.
I don't want to
come to the rally, but I'll retweet. Is there something I could donate money to?
Is there like a Venmo I can donate to?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Because I mean, it's important.
I'll dedicate my birthday to it on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm happy to bring awareness to it.
If there's a way I can help without physically being there, I would love that.
Actual protest.
I would also,
it's downtown.
Gladly kill a dog.
It's hard to get down.
This seems like a multi-day thing. I can't do that.
Yeah, because like killing a dog, I'll just like go find him. But like a rally downtown,
I just like the parking is.
Is there one in the valley?
I can't. Yeah.
I'll go to the 20-person one in the valley.
Right. It's at the Van Nuys courthouse.
I'll see you in Somar.
Somar
Juvenile Courthouse
in front of it.
No one's made signs.
There's like 50 of us.
It's like, hey.
Yeah. It looks like we're just kind of milling around. Yeah. Like, it does look more like a hangout.
This fascist state has got to go. Hey.
But none of the animals replied, for though they felt sorry enough for what had been done, they all loved their freedom and to race over the starlit snow and were loath to give it up even for the snug, warm stables of Santa Claus. Don't do it.
Yes. You don't owe world children shit.
Oh, my God.
Fuck these world men.
That's funny when push comes to shove. What? Cried the werebear. Is there not one of you who will take this reproach from us and go back with me to the stables of Santa Claus and take the place of our brothers who are dead? A warm stable shall each of you have, and your fill of clean, dry moss feed.
Partying, brother. Yeah, what are you on about with this fucking stable?
Right.
They got tricked because they'd gone fucking stir crazy in your reindeer jail.
This also is the short story version of the abortion comic where he's like, you're dead brothers. And everyone's like, whoa,
Werebear.
Werebear.
I thought you're a bear. You have a little snow room. This is going to be like Elf.
Like, you've been fucking domesticated, White Bear.
Oh, imagining being like a fucking like trashed whale and you're hearing this. You're like, you're just like focusing your, trying to focus your eyes.
I shouldn't
like,
have smoked before I came.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's just like a lot right now.
Going to Del. If someone makes a Del Taco run, I'll give them money. Even that. I can't. But the animals all thought of the wide plains and the stinging north wind and their scampers of old and hung their heads and were silent. Yeah. Poor Dunder groaned aloud, and even the White Bear had begun to despair when there spoke up a poor old seal with but one fin.
Oh my God.
Wait, out of four?
One fin. Oh.
Growing up, we had this turtle pond, and we had these cute little turtles, and it was very sad. A raccoon came and like slowly ate one of our turtles.
Slowly,
like one leg would be missing, and then another leg, and then another. It was really sad.
Why did you let that keep happening, Kelly?
It was really sad. It wasn't while I was living at home. My parents were like, someone ate part of the turtle again.
Right.
Oh my God.
Really horrifying. It was really horrifying.
Sharks do that too. Like they'll like bite off a fin of something, and then they leave and then like let them bleed out and then go back.
Create a scavenger situation.
Yes.
Someone ate the turtle again.
Mm-hmm. This, I guess it gets a little worse here. When there spoke up a poor old seal with but one fin, for he had fallen into the seal fisher's hands and been maimed.
Sad. I can't wait until he schools him. Yes, I can't wait until he fucking schools
him. By the way,
this
is like the last paragraph of the story. This is way too late for this. He had been drinking too much punch, and he spoke thickly, but he had a good heart, that old crippled seal.
It wrings my heart, brothers, that you should be silent to such a call as this. When for the first time since Christmas began, it seems that the little children of the world will not get their presents.
Why do you give a shit?
Yeah.
I am only an old seal who has been twice wounded by the hunters. I am a cripple, but no, I will myself go with the white bear. And though I can travel but a mile a day at best.
All right, this fucker volunteered because he knew that white bear would not take him up on
this. White bear's going to be like, oh, you know what? You know what? I'm good.
That's so nice. Yes. No, it's okay. Nice. I can do it.
Yeah,
he's going to
say
no. Fine.
Yeah.
Yet will I hobble on my tail and my one fin until I have dragged the sleigh full of presents to the world children.
Then the animals were all ashamed of themselves, and the reindeer all sprang forward and cried, we will go, take us.
Wait, so we now know
reindeer.
Like Vixen 2 and like Cupid 2.
It's so it seems.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like the call we made earlier, which is that the reindeer did all fucking die, it seems. Yeah. So the next day, a little later than usual, Santa Claus wrapped himself in his fur lap robes and
fucking
seven new reindeer.
Luxury, that motherfucker.
Yeah. Seven new reindeer headed by Dunder. Flew like the winged wind toward the coast of Norway. And if any of you remember getting your presents a little late that year, it was because the new reindeer were not used to their work yet, though they tried hard enough.
I'm sorry, but this story is in praise of that seal.
Yes.
The white bear did not do anything.
The white bear did jack shit
whatsoever. Yeah. The white bear is that like Facebook person who just reposts it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because this was not his story.
No.
This was someone else's story. He just was just like, hey, I'm amplifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm amplifying the message, which is admirable.
Yes.
Sure.
There's no shame
in
that.
Unless you're doing it performatively.
Yes. Unless you're doing
it
performatively.
Which I think, judging
from
that speech.
Right.
Judging from that speech, performative.
I think he was making about him. Yeah.
Totally.
He was like, brothers. Right. And it's like, you're not involved. You don't need to be brothers.
Yeah. You're doing this for the likes.
Right. This is the white guy who's like, I was walking down the street in Hollywood and I saw a guy like staring at a girl. So I said, hey, I'll beat your fucking ass, bitch. I told that guy that right then.
Yeah. Oh,
guys, we've got to do better. It's like, no.
Guys, we've got to do better.
It's just like, no. And again, this isn't like a retweet of like, hey, this tweet made me think I think this is like a personal experience about it.
Yes. I remember there was a girl I went to law school with who posted a pic, like a painting, and she's like, you know, some of the really good things in life are giving. And I gave a homeless woman a water bottle and she gave me this drawing in return. And I just feel so motivated and moved.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the goddamn shit is this?
Just hang up the fucking painting.
What do you want from me?
What
do you want? Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Right.
Or like, hey, I filmed this video of me like asking this developmentally disabled boy to prom.
Aren't
I like the best girl in the world?
Inspiration porn. That like has driven me nuts for a really long time.
It fucking sucks. It's not okay to take somebody's disability and like make yourself go viral with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There like has been I remember there was like there's a lot of like stuff that goes around like that, and for you know, since the beginning of the internet, and I remember it always rubbing me the wrong way, and I was never able to explain why. I was just like, I don't know, it seems exploitive, it seems like whatever, but it really is, it's like it's using like pity rather than empathy, and it's also like being like, aren't I so amazing for helping this poor like, you know, person that's just like so much worse than me. And it's like,
if you
dude,
really
it's not.
Cared about this autistic kid or like, I can't think of another,
like literally
I can't,
anything,
I'm trying to think of other actual videos I've seen and I can't. So I'll just go with the autistic one. If you're like actually care that this autistic kid has a date for prom, then go to prom with the kid.
Yeah.
Don't
just
film yourself asking him to prom.
Yeah. Like, I like they film it and then just don't do it.
Yeah. Which I would not be surprised by whatsoever.
Yeah. But yeah, that's why, because applying that to the story, it's like, this this white bear has basically been seemingly eating this entire, for the majority of the story, while everyone has been massacred.
Yeah.
And he gets to the top of the hill with Dunder and isn't like, Dunder, tell them.
Yeah.
Really, Dunder carries White Bear.
And then Dunder, having been really fucked up, still has to lead the sleigh.
I think here's the thing. No. Willa is really good at writing stuff that's like, this sucks, huh? Mm. And she has like really accomplished that here, I think. Like, I think it's
indeed.
I feel like we're supposed to feel pretty shitty that now it's like this guy that's just been eating well, living well, has never experienced anything really horrible, who's like happy and has power under this regime, has like taken people from freedom and been like, oh, like you should do.
Enlisted them.
Yeah, basically enlisted them. And now they're like
also. Like, I hope to fucking God that then they're like, okay, that was it. We're not your fucking reindeer now.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to leave.
And then Werebear doesn't, or White Bear or whatever, doesn't like do anything. Right?
He does nothing to help Christmas. He leaves again.
He's like, hey, will you guys please do me this favor? And then they go, sure. And he's like, thanks. All right, back to my
I'm gonna go get some hot cocoa.
Back to my indoor room with outdoor snow, which is the most like privileged thing. Like, just go outdoors.
I know. You could just be outside.
Right there. You don't need to be.
You're right there.
You've crafted an entire room, and then
he's glamping, I guess.
Or that's like me having an elliptical, but I could just like run outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say for me, this story sucks.
No, same. I think that was dumb.
I would say this. Tell me if you would agree with this. I would say this story sucks on every level.
Yeah.
I would say the narrative of it is just kind of bizarre and wandery. Mm-hmm. The message behind it is like, I'm not even sure I can totally put my finger on it. It does have almost like a pagan lack of any.
Yeah, it's purely just like, Christmas is good and people who don't like Christmas are bad.
Yeah.
That's not a like message. Or, like, there's no story.
I do wish that she had made a stronger stance on something.
Yeah.
Because I really can't tell if she is being like I feel like this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she was like talking about Santa Claus and she's like, do you ever think that like it's like kind of fucked up that the reindeer like live with him all the time and like do his bidding?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like wrote the story, but like that never
came
out.
I know what it is.
What?
It's about going into service for your country when there's a war on.
Oh, yes.
The other reindeer were draft dodgers.
They were draft dodgers.
And it was like, men, won't you fight for your country? And they're but I like not fighting. And then this one old war veteran with only one arm. It's like,
dude, I feel like maybe you're right.
I think you're right.
And then the young men finally step up and perform their duty and protect Judeo-Christian values the world over.
Strategy of the werewolf dog.
Yeah, like, what year?
Yeah.
What year was this written?
Right. And then White Bear is, of course, the noble Congress.
Yeah.
which is the important people.
Yeah. He's like, Woodrow Wilson or FDR.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever was president.
In Home Monthly in December 1896.
Okay, so way before those wars then.
This is like, this would be Abraham Lincoln, I guess.
Major themes, Christmas.
Yes. Okay.
Wow. Oh, way to delve in internet.
What? Okay, the story was made up by Willa and her brothers, Roscoe and Douglas, to entertain the younger children on family gatherings.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly just some random.
Yeah, it's like a rando story.
Like, I invented this off the top of my head for some fucking kids who don't think about anything.
Yeah.
This is like, to me, there's like a especially when I find out that there's three of them, it makes sense. Like, there's like a, sometimes there's like shows where they'll be like, hey, like, we're all going to write a script together. Everyone will just get one page. And the best version of it is like, everyone does their best, but everyone just kind of throws it. Everyone just kind of like throws the towel and is like, oh, and then what if fucking Mel Gibson was there? You know, and it's like, it has this vibe to it.
Let's
just
make
like,
it crazy and random.
It's just, this is crazy. This is random.
Yeah.
And it's also funny that when they mentioned like at the beginning, there was a thing like, hey, we're going to shine. Like, it seems like her purpose in writing the story is to shine light on an important figure who's been dismissed and who hasn't been seen, right? That is often the way of historians. They concentrate themselves on a single important figure and forget to mention all the other
factors.
I forgot about that. Talking about White Bear. But White Bear is again taking the focus and it doesn't do jack shit and doesn't fucking matter.
He's barely in it.
White Bear doesn't fucking matter.
But I will say that the Rudolph story does kind of steal from this a little bit, where it's like, do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? And it's no, because that wasn't a reindeer, you fucking liar.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But is obviously a way better story with a good with a good message.
Yeah.
And an actual protagonist who you root for.
Kind of, right?
No, fully.
Nah, dude. What? I feel bad for Rudolph.
You're crazy.
Here's the thing. They only like him when he's useful.
Right.
Well, it's about not overlooking somebody just because they don't seem cool
on their side. But it does seem like on Rudolph's side, you're right. Like, my analogy
but
would be
victorious.
This. I get bullied at school for my acne. They say, hey, sure. Nick, your face looks like absolute shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I get my mom's station wagon and I drive them all to the arc light. And now they love me.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's high school fantasy where, like, you didn't, like, get any dates or have any friends in high school. And you dream of going back to your high school reunion. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm fucking hot shit. And now you all love me.
But here's the thing. They bully him for this thing, right? They bully him because his nose is weird.
Yeah.
Then turns out the nose is useful. And then they're like, oh, we love you. And it's like, but you should have had empathy for him.
But that
is the weird nose.
But that is the message.
No, but the only thing is the empathy only came because they benefited from the utility of his nose.
I'm not saying those bullies are redeemable. I'm saying the story has a good message where it's like, hey, don't bully people. They have worth.
I think the message is partially don't bully people. They have worth. But I think a huge part of the message, unintentionally, is like, good thing his nose was useful. Because here's the thing. If he had, like, green, bright green feet, and, like, that wasn't helpful, and they were making fun of that, I don't think
that that's the... But the message of the story is, like, I think fully don't bully people. Everybody's different, and everybody has their strengths, and you don't know people's stories. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you knew a little bit more about them and saw how their, like, difference makes them stronger in one area where you maybe aren't strong.
Yeah.
Then you see that and you change your mind.
I also think there's a lot of people who have nothing to offer and should be still.
That's
the thing. Like those bullies.
Yeah.
Well, I think the bullies are the worthless ones. They can't help shit.
Right.
But that's the thing. Here's the thing. I think I don't know how to describe it. Like, the bullies are the worthless ones. I feel like even if they're worthless, they have worth. You know what I mean? Like, even if they don't have something that can save them on a foggy night, they're still worthwhile. You know what it is?
Well, they're the pretty girls.
It's meritocracy. That's what it is. I don't enjoy it.
I don't agree with that at all. Mm. I don't think, because what we're talking about isn't an interpretation of, like, well, you could interpret that as meritocracy. I'm talking about the intention of why the story was written.
Yeah.
Like, I see what you're saying, but that I don't think was the person's intent.
No. I don't think it was their intent. I think their intent was don't judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think the way that it pans out is like,
okay.
Like, because
you're saying it could be construed that way. You're not saying that.
I think it communicates that unintentionally.
Yeah. The execution of it, I think unwittingly, the execution of it is, I think, of just like, hey, don't be mean to someone because they might have something to offer you.
To offer you. That's what it is. Like, right, specifically, like, you in your specific situation, right. Like, whoa, like, their nose might be able to light up the sky on a moonless night or whatever.
As opposed to, like, hey, we can kind of empathize, like, you know, we can empathize with other people and, you know, like, it's, but it does seem to be like, hey, you never know when you might need them.
Exactly. Because I think the intention purely is like, hey, you know, everyone's got value and you shouldn't bully people. But I think the way that it pans out, that it's just, like, so perfect, like, that his nose helps them go through this dark night. It's like, well, you could always use them.
I understand what you're saying.
Completely
now.
Unintentionally.
I don't think that they set out to tell a story of meritocracy.
No. I think that the message is as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of intention of message, the message does communicate.
You think the execution can be read as meritocracy?
I think so. Okay. I think it's not even a message of can be read as. I think it accidentally says that. It's not like if you really twist and turn the way it tells the story, I think it's like, oh, oops, we didn't mean to have it say that.
Yeah, I think it's like ignorance not like it does. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Like, it's the same way where it'll be like, oh yeah, we did this podcast, and then in 20 years someone will listen back and be like, actually, when Nick said, you
know, problematic. I would say it has to be, though, that you can interpret it that way, because I didn't.
Yeah. So,
like, it can be interpreted multiple ways. I thought you were saying the actual, like, intended message.
No, the intended message is the other thing.
But you're saying, I'll say this. I actually wonder if it is the intended message, which is that you should be kind to people because they have something they can help you, or they have something to offer. I think that almost is.
I think you're right.
I think they have something to offer. I think it's you have worth. Because that was all a choice,
right,
to have it. Like, the way that you display that is, like, he saves the day with his being different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's how you make the bullies learn that lesson. Whereas if you just keep telling them over and over, like, no, everybody has worth, even if, like, they're not getting an outright demonstration of it, they're fucking bullies and they're not going to listen to that. So you have to have that.
What's that
big
worth? Here's my question.
That's the thing.
Worth
is different.
Like, is the worth based on just your ability to, like, provide for others, in this case, seeming like a pretty awful, like, group or something like that? Or is your worth based on you're having an experience of the world and you are, as you know, all individuals just inherently have a worthiness of to be respected or et cetera. I wonder if that's maybe my specific.
I think I'm a little irked by the story because I feel like if Rudolph had no, like, nothing that actually helped them and, like, just chose to, like, fuck around and, like, do whatever, I think, I don't know how the story would do this, but
I hear what you're saying. So then let's spitball and make it work.
Yeah.
So then what's the version of that story where you get the message across, like, crystal clear without making him, like, oh, well, he was helpful and so now we
like
him.
Right.
I think that the stumbling block for me is that, like, I think I disagree with the definition of worth with the story, because I think the story was written during a time where, like, usefulness was, like, something to be desired and, like, was, like, one of the only things to be desired, like, utility, usefulness, now I'm like, oh, well, you have worth and, you know, different people get fulfillment out of different things. Like, what I might find worthy is different from what someone else finds worthy. And that's where the respect should lie. And I don't know how to communicate that in a story.
Yeah.
Here's my version of the parable. Uh-huh. All right. So Rudolph the Red Nose, he has a very shiny nose. All the other reindeers, they make fun of it because he glows. And then, uh-huh. and then the reindeers, they all go back to their barn or whatever. And then Vixen is just like, I'm not feeling great about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's him learning the lesson without, then that's not a story.
He's reflecting. Okay.
No, here we go.
I interrupted you, though.
Let's throw
maybe
in a little,
more.
Like,
maybe
little match
more.
Girl type of, like, situation. Okay. Like, let's heighten the stakes a little bit. Rudolph is depressed as shit because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, bummed out and, like, walking around and maybe this is how we can kind of, like, bring it. He's walking around in the snow and there's, like, a blizzard and he's very depressed and they can just see his nose glowing and they're just like, man, he's still out there. I feel kind of bad about that. And let's maybe,
so
it's
you
during
wanna,
a reindeer party. They're having a reindeer party. It's inside. Okay. Everyone's having some fun.
They're drinking punch
uh-huh.
and wishing everyone on the ice humbug.
Havoc.
Haberdasher.
And you can just see, like, as the party's dying down, as everything's whatever, they still see that nose
mm-hmm.
outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, do you think we, like, here's the thing. First, they're like, fuck that. Like, he's being so sensitive. You know?
Right.
Something has to make them turn, though.
Here's the problem. It can't be suicide either, because then you're glamorizing
no,
suicide.
No, he's not suicide. He's just very bummed and very
Rudolph.
Cold.
What about this? I wonder if this is maybe it has to come from Rudolph, is what you're saying.
Well, it just has to come from, there has to be a story rather than them just, like, magically coming to a realization.
Okay.
Something else has to,
like, in the case of the, it can't come from them. Like, in life, that's probably more what would happen.
Sure.
Is you, like, grow up, you mature as a human mm-hmm. being. You're like, man, I really regret how I treated Sarah
maybe
in high
you
school.
Say that on a podcast.
Yeah. But so then
in
what's
the story has
the
to
what's
on
a story?
The reindeer go on a podcast.
Yeah.
And they call Rudolph.
Oh, my God.
They call him and they're like, hey, you know something? Like, and they want to be like, we fucked up. And then Rudolph says, why are you doing this on a podcast? Like, exactly. Why are you glamorous? That's like, right. Why are you?
And then, yeah, and then also,
like, it's like, why are you filming yourself apologizing to me?
And then,
if you really meant it, you wouldn't be doing it this way.
Right. Let's take a little bit, and then let's take something from BoJack Horseman and say, he goes, I don't forgive you.
I don't forgive you.
And they're like, what? How could you not forgive me? And he's like, forgiveness is a gift I give myself, and I don't feel like giving myself that gift. So, I don't forgive you. Sorry.
I feel like that's a good episode of television and not so much like its own standalone thing.
It also takes place over so much time.
There's no like beginning, middle, and end. What's the story?
So here's the thing. Rudolph has like lived a very different and happy life. And this whole time they've been working with Santa the whole time. And maybe one right before they go on the podcast, a couple of them have like the realization like, man, this was life. Like, we just did this whole thing living and working under Santa. And then that's what, still the podcast thing is problematic.
I think the podcast can be a good story too.
Within maybe the structure of the story itself instead of like, maybe it'll be easier to work with all the pieces that are already there.
As opposed to an alternate universe.
Yeah, as opposed to me making you guys fully invent a story on the spot. So like, Rudolph, got a glowing nose.
The glowing nose, the fog descends, the reindeer come, hey, Rudolph, we need you. And Rudolph says, and here's maybe my take. Rudolph says, hold on, wait a minute. And he goes, why did you think it was ugly? And they're like, what? And then he goes, no, feet to the fire. Feet to the fire. What? What about it? He's like, I'm not saying I won't do it, but I've got this the floor for a second. Mm-hmm. Why was it ugly? And they're like, I don't know. They're like, and then Rudolph comes back. Like, what about, let me ask you this then. Let me flip it. What about having a normal black nose is beautiful?
Yeah. Oh, and then maybe he goes like, and then he's like, maybe he's like, why did you make fun of me?
Right.
Like, why
did
you do that?
Yeah.
Like, did you not care that I was upset? And they're just like, come on, man, we got to deliver the presents. And he's like, yeah, hold. Listen, this will be my present.
Right.
Like, did it make you feel better? Did it make you feel better to have all of you making fun of me, one reindeer? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel bigger? Do you feel happier?
And why am I spending my energy now? Why do I need to educate you now?
Why am I teaching you?
Yeah.
Why do I have to teach you?
Why are you putting this on me? Oh, that's the answer, is you just give it a sad ending where Rudolph doesn't help and they realize,
there's no Christmas.
There's no Christmas.
You know what? That wasn't fair of us to just, we can't just, because all of a sudden we needed him, we can't make things, that doesn't make things okay.
But I'll say, to revisit the alternate podcast thing, what I like about the podcast version is when you come back to it, when they do on the podcast.
I just love podcasts.
And they're like, hey, Rudolph, we want to call you and say, we were wrong. It's like, oh no, Rudolph would say, this is still about your utility. This is still about you getting something.
You still simply
believe that other people are what you can get from them.
Mm-hmm. Icing on the cake. Here's the thing, right? So they're being interviewed for being very famous
reindeer.
very famous Santa reindeer.
Yes.
Right? And they think that they're like helping hand, reaching out to him. Because he left, right? He's like, I can't be like around you guys. He left. And they're like, hey man, we're sorry you like never made it. It was because of us that you never made it. And he's like, never made it. I lived a happy life. I lived a good life. Mm-hmm. I found someone that accepted me. I'm happy with my life. I've got two kids that love me.
I don't define myself by what you think is important. Mm-hmm. That's been the problem all along.
He's like, there's a million paths to fulfillment. Like, I'm doing just fine.
I was never chasing fame like you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, now that you've got it, are you happy? And they're just like,
No.
No.
Because I do like improv shows for free for Santa and like I haven't really gotten anywhere and I'm still in a studio apartment in the North Pole and like nobody wants to live there anymore.
And then Rudolph goes, I'm sorry. And then they're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's it.
This podcast it's not gelling. They realize they don't have on-air chemistry. They don't.
Because they're all bad people.
Yeah.
They're like selfish people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they still get paid a lot.
Yeah.
So it
can be the same story. It's just a sad ending. And that's how you drive home the point that like everybody has worth and you can't just like somebody because they're useful.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that communicates the same story without the accidental, because I don't at all think it was ever intended to
I
be
see
like,
what you're saying.
You should only like people if they're useful.
Right.
I think the message is you should like people because they might be useful, which
you should like people because they're people.
I think it should be that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if he turns them down, then they don't get what they want, but they still have to learn the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not just people people aren't just people when it's convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's convenient for you.
And if you could see my eyes, they're rolling out of
my
head. They're
rolling. He has just none. Whites of his
they're
eyes.
Gone.
They're gone. It's horrifying.
It's horrifying. We are all very scared.
Terrified.
Wow. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh my God,
and
my pleasure.
Rewriting.
Thank you for analyzing.
Rudolph.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved it. What a treat. This story was insane. What a great selection.
Yes. Thank you, Brett.
Thank
really
you,
good
Brett.
Selection.
Yeah. Thank you, Brett.
What integrity it took.
Yes. What? Just integris. Just,
yes.
Just you're such
yes.
an integer.
Oh.
Mylan Sheath.
Mylan Sheath.
Mylan Sheath.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
You can find me Instagram, Nick Mondernach, Twitter, at Mandernick, JV, Friday nights at UCB. And thank you so much for having me. What a treat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Very fun.
Like I promised, really quick, I'm just going to shout out the names of the people.
Oh, yeah.
Who said, the booty likes what it likes.
Here are all the reviews we got and requested and got.
Yes. Sarchet, Cramber Tramps, TJ Sager, Kylie MCC, GDM81, Cherry on Top, also said, three times a lady.
Nice.
Best Nightmare said, the booty likes what it likes in the baby worry voice. Quellel. The booty likes wants. I forget. The booty wants what it wants. XOXO. And I think that's it. Thank you guys so much.
I feel like that's the last place where people are still doing like just fully like screen names as opposed to like here's my actual name.
AIM style.
Yeah.
AOL
just
screen
like
name
classic
style.
Classic jokey weird.
Totally.
Unidentifiable.
Because Gmail, you're right, has become just like a it's
your
just,
name.
Just your name.
It has to be just
your name. Because you're using it in professional circumstances as well.
Well, thanks again to Nick, our guest.
Thank you.
Yay.
And thank you guys for listening. Thank you for all of your support. As usual, we don't know what we're reading next week, so question marks all around.
The end. Keep it cultured.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.